Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 537, titled The Project, The Muslim Brotherhood and Proxy War Around the World. This program is being recorded on December 4th of the year 2005. Before I get into the main body of the broadcast, let me encourage the listeners most emphatically to take advantage of the huge amount of online information that's available on the Spitfire website and on linked websites as well. The whole For the Record program is being archived on Real Audio and MP3 by sister station WFMU. The aforementioned heroic WFMU is podcasting For the Record to those of you who would like to have the program sent right to your computer. And on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com and on linked websites, there is literally sort of a graduate course in anti-fascist literature available, or anti-fascism, I could say. It's not a doctrine that has been academically blessed, although it should be. Who knows? Maybe this effort here, For the Record, it's the websites it's helping to engender, and the people out there who, and again, a major salute and tip of the hat to those hearty listeners who've pitched in this substantive way. But maybe the Spitfire website and linked websites can serve as perhaps a concretization point for the formal establishment of anti-fascism as not only a respectable and necessary intellectual slash political doctrine, but also is something that needs to be undertaken by not only elements of academia, but in cooperation with elements of the military and the intelligence community and the political establishment, as something we had bloody bleeping well better get down to doing before it's too late, if it isn't already too late. Spitfire website has long written descriptions of each For the Record program. They're filled with text. If the program itself seems too pedantic, and I can understand that, use the descriptions. Plus, there are books, a growing number of books on the website. The latest edition is the classic by Howard Watson Ombruster called Treason's Peace, subtitled American German Dies and American Dupes, about I.G. Farben. There are other books as well. They, in combination with Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, which is available on the Spitfire website, will give you a really substantive background to many of the things that I'm talking about. Other websites feature not only a search function, but listeners turning the For the Record descriptions into a blog spot. Another listener is a group of listeners in the Midwest have put together a website featuring the declassified U.S. government documents proving the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. Use these websites. I can't stress strongly enough how important they are. If some of the things that I talk about might seem weird, and I imagine they do, I've made available a vast amount of material so that you can undertake a serious investigation of the broader topics that I raise on this broadcast. So please take advantage of those. And by the way, there's a page to click on the Spitfire website to support the work that I'm doing, and there's nothing more important for those of you who don't like the things that are going on than to support the work that I'm doing. That having been said, the title of the broadcast, again, The Project, The Muslim Brotherhood and Proxy War Around the World. What we're going to be looking at in this broadcast, first of all, is a document titled The Project. What this is, its apologists notwithstanding, is a Muslim Brotherhood manifesto outlining basically a program for political and military and economic action around the world that eventually will result in a Muslim world, a Muslim-dominated world. And at the center of that will be the Islamo-fascist Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is a primarily Sunni Islamic fundamentalist group, but it is explicitly fascist in nature and was allied with Nazi Germany in World War II. It then jumped to the CIA along with so many other fascist groups and was sponsored by the CIA in various roles. It was transferred to Saudi Arabia, where it took root and merged with the enormous Saudi oil wealth. through that, it had access to the American political establishment, again through the petroleum lobby, and ultimately, as a result of the Afghan War, the Muslim Brotherhood not only became a primary recipient of U.S. covert action funds, but in combination with the Safari Club, the Saudi outsourcing of U.S. intelligence functions, it moved into the United States in a big way, in addition to working with the U.S. National Security Establishment. Indeed, people looking into September 11th cannot do an adequate job without investigating the Brotherhood, because Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and many other groups around the world are offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood. One of the things that we looked at in connection with the infiltration of the U.S. was PTEC, and a document that was found in the raid of Sami Al-Arian's property. Sami Al-Arian is the North American head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of the many offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood. And there was a document found when Sami Al-Arian got busted that outlined a program for infiltration of American intelligence services and other institutions that fits very, very nicely into the discussion of the project that we're going to be looking at here. Time permitting, perhaps we'll review a little bit of that. But the program, basically, we're going to be looking at the project per se, this title of a document found in Youssef Nader's apartment at the time of his arrest in November of 2001. This document was drawn up in 1982, according to Youssef Nader, by Islamic scholars. Defenders of the Brotherhood are already trying to spin the project as a forgery, but notice that Youssef Nader, the foreign minister for the Muslim Brotherhood, and himself, one should not fail to remember, a Nazi intelligence agent during World War II, alleged by the Asia Times to have helped the Grand Mufti himself escape from Germany to Palestine at the end of World War II, Youssef Nader did not claim the document was a forgery. On the contrary, he said it's authentic. He knows who the authors were, although they're not named in the article that I'm going to talk about. But Youssef Nader does not deny that this is an authentic document. He simply says he was foolish to hang on to it and that he doesn't agree with most of it. What we're going to do in this program is to take a look, first of all, at the project. Then we're going to dolly backward, and we're going to take a look at the use of Islamic peoples, Arabic Muslims in particular, as proxy warriors by Germany, both in its colonial phase and during its Nazi phase, and up into the contemporary period of the Underground Reich. Underlying much of this is the concept of geopolitics, and that's a school of political philosophy which looks at the world as a whole and seeks to manipulate whole sections of it for the gain of a particular power. We're going to, again, look at the project. Then we're going to take a look at material from Kevin Phillips' book, American Dynasty, and we're going to take a look at how the Germans undertook to use the Arabs, or not the Arabs, rather, but the Muslim peoples as proxy warriors in World War I. In this case, their proxy warriors were the Ottoman Turks of the Ottoman Empire. The British also utilized proxy warriors, the Arabs who had been part of the Ottoman Empire, against the Turks in World War I. But then in the World War II period and the post-World War II period, the Third Reich, both in its above-ground and post-war underground manifestations, used the Arabs and the Muslim Brotherhood as proxy warriors against the Western Allies, the British, the Americans, and to a certain extent the French, and also primarily and significantly against the Israelis. One of the things, and Jews in general, one of the things that we're going to be looking at in this program is the use of the Muslim Brotherhood and, by extension, Arabs and the world's Muslim population as proxy warriors by the Underground Reich. After reviewing the German alliance with the Turks and their use of the Turks as military allies and proxy warriors in World War I, we're going to review not only some of the doctrine of the Muslim Brotherhood showing its consistency with the doctrines elaborated in the project, but we're also going to review some of the many connections of the Bank al-Taqwa. That is the primary Muslim Brotherhood financial organization. It's headed up by Youssef Nada. François Genoux, about whom we'll say more later on, was one of the principal people involved. And that is one of the keys to the situation vis-a-vis Bank al-Taqwa. And also the project. There's a whole lot more going on here than Muslims. It's also important in this discussion to steer clear of overweening political correctness, because this is no more anti-Arab or anti-Muslim than a discussion of the German-American Bund in World War II would have been anti-German. Anti-fascist, yes. Anti-ethnic, no. It ain't anti-Arab, anti-Muslim, anti-German, or anti-anybody else. It is anti-fascist. That having been said, what we're going to do is we're going to begin by looking at an excerpt from an article on the Ablution website. So we'll give you the full URL. It's actually a blog sphere. And this discusses and translates the original article that contained the mention of or the allusions to the project. The article is from the Swiss paper Le Temps, and it is from October of 2005. The full annotation will be in the written description for the record 537 when I get it up. So here is what the project is. Now remember, as you listen to this, this was found in the apartment of Youssef Nada, the head of Bank al-Taqwa. Nada was, according to many sources, a German spy in World War II, along with his Bank al-Taqwa co-lieutenant, Ahmed Idris Nasreddin. Actually, that might have been Ali Galeb Himat. I think one of the two was either Himat or Nasreddin. Along with one of those two, Youssef Nada sired five children in the United States, actually six kids in the United States between 1979 and 1984, almost certainly serving in that capacity in conjunction with the war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. When one thinks about that, when one thinks about the use of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Balkans, because it appears that the Afghan paradigm, so to speak, was used in the Balkans, when one considers the penetration of the American political, commercial, and national security establishments by the Brotherhood in connection with the Cold War in general, the anti-Soviet effort in Afghanistan, and the Balkans effort, the project takes on added depth. Here is the translated text of the October 2005 issue of the Swiss newspaper Le Temps, obviously in the French language. In November of 2001, in the course of a search, Swiss investigators discovered the project, unquote, an ambitious strategy designed to establish the reign of God, unquote, over the entire earth. Is it possible that the development of world Islam over the last 20 years is, at least in part, the product of a secret strategy, a deliberate plan to take power? That's the politically incorrect question raised by the surprising discovery made by the Swiss and Italian police during a search carried out near Lugano in November of 2001. Now remember, this document was found in Nazi spy Youssef Nada's apartment, and that Nada was very close to François Genoux. Nada actually helped the Grand Mufti escape from Germany at the end of World War II. That's the fellow in whose apartment the project document was found. Continuing with the Le Temps article from October 2005. In a villa belonging to Youssef Nada, an Egyptian banker that the American authorities accuse of having supported terrorism, the investigators seized an amazing document kept secret for nearly two decades, the project, unquote, a strategic text of which the ultimate goal is, quote, the establishment of the reign of God over the entire world, unquote. The open criminal investigation against Youssef Nada, who ran the Islamic bank al-Taqwa de Lugano from its creation in 1988, was closed last May. But the Arab financier, who denied all links with terrorism, admitted having been over the years one of the principal leaders of the international branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, one of the most important contemporary Islamist groups. Formed in Egypt in 1928, the Muslim Brotherhood gave birth to a vast, quote, Islamic movement, unquote, inspired by its ideas, which represent today the main world force calling for Islamism. The project is a 14-page document dated December of 1982, which opens with this passage, quote, "This report presents a global vision of an international strategy of Islamic policy. Local Islamic policies are to be drawn up in the different regions according to its guidelines," unquote. The document recommends the, quote, "study of the centers of power locally and worldwide and the possibilities of placing them under influence," unquote, "getting into contact with every new movement engaged in jihad across the planet," unquote, "creating cells of jihad in Palestine, and nurturing the sentiment of rancor with regard to Jews," unquote. All of that with the goal of, quote, "coordinating the Islamic work in the sole direction in order to consecrate the power of God on earth." Basically, this is a blueprint for establishing a worldwide Islamist totalitarian theocracy. As we'll review in part two, the economic agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood is fascist and patterned on Mussolini's corporate state, and the alliances of the Bank al-Taqwa run in many interesting directions. If one examines the evidentiary tributaries coming out from them, they go in the direction not only, obviously, of the Afghan war against the Soviets, but also in the direction of so-called neo-Nazis, both in the U.S. and Germany, including elements linked to September 11th, but also back to the old guard, people like the Grand Mufti, people like Johann von Leers, people like François Genoux. One also finds links running in the direction of Italian fascism and the P2 milieu, and the fellow who was maintaining the special Bank al-Taqwa account for the al-Qaeda network was a guy named Ali bin Mussalim. He was the focal point of a letter from the U.S. Treasury Department to the Swiss in February of 2002. Note that the Secretary of the Treasury, under whose auspices this was sent, was fired later that year. After this letter became public in the spring of 2004, Ali bin Mussalim was found dead in his Lausanne apartment a month later. And now the Swiss authorities are basically cutting loose the investigation of Youssef Nader because the principal figure is now, surprise, surprise, dead. I would also point out that one of the things Ali bin Mussalim had previously been sought for in the U.S. was plotting with other people to corner the U.S., corner the world silver market in the early part of the 1980s and late 70s. That places the late Ali bin Mussalim, the custodian of the al-Qaeda account at Bank al-Taqwa, in with the right-wing Hunt brothers of Texas, and thereby hangs a tale. Time permitting, we'll get into that later. It'll certainly be reviewed in the description to the program. Returning once again to the Le Temps article from October of 2005, the Swiss-French language newspaper goes on as follows. "The Swiss investigators who studied the al-Taqwa dossier have devoted several analyses to the project and what it represents. One confidential document of an anti-terrorist task force set up after the attacks of September 11, 2001, speaks of, quote, a fundamental text for understanding the long-term goals of the Muslim Brotherhood," unquote. Again, quoting, "Entitled The Project, the document specifically describes the strategy and vision to ensure that the fraternity achieves a growing influence over the Muslim world. It is pointed out that the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't have to act in the name of the Brotherhood, but can infiltrate existing entities. They can thus avoid being located and neutralized," unquote. A second report from the Swiss investigator states that the project and other documents found in Youssef Nader's house, quote, confirm the role played by the Muslim Brotherhood at the same time as an inspiration and support, direct or indirect, of radical Islam all over the world. Accordingly, the project could play a role in the creation by the Muslim Brotherhood and their successors of a network of religious, educational, and charitable institutions in Europe and the United States. In fact, the project recommends, quote, construction of social, economic, scientific, and medical institutions, and the penetration of the domain of the social services to be in contact with the people," unquote. The SAR network and the SAFA trust are interesting to reflect on in this context in the U.S., as well as the various Saudi-backed Islamic charities. Remember also the links between the SAR network and the SAFA trust and the Republican Party on the one hand, and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Bank al-Taqwa milieu on the other. Continuing, to this end, it will be necessary to, quote, study the diverse political environment and the probabilities of success in each country, unquote. One Western official who had studied it described the project as a, quote, totalitarian ideology of infiltration that represents, in the end, the greatest danger for European societies, unquote. The project, which will become a danger in 10 years, he said, will see emerging in Europe the demand for a parallel system, the creation of Muslim parliaments, unquote, of the sort that already exists in Great Britain, thus beginning the slow destruction of our institutions, of our structures, unquote. For this official, who asked not to be named, the project is not a simple philosophical text, but a roadmap, unquote, of which certain elements have been put in place in the real world. Notably, it anticipates the start of the war against Israel in the Palestinian territories and the support given these past years by the Muslim Brotherhood to several armed Islamic groups from Bosnia to the Philippines. The discovery of the project also raises many questions which for now remain unanswered. The identity of its author, for example, remains unknown. Youssef Nada, the keeper of the project for nearly 20 years, simply told the Swiss investigators that he hadn't personally written the text. Approached several times by Le Temps, he finally explained that the document had been drawn up by some, quote, Islamic researchers, unquote, but that it didn't represent the official position of the Islamic Brotherhood. Quote, I don't agree with but 15 or 20% of the text, he said. Why, in that case, did he keep it at his house? Quote, I don't know. I should have thrown it away, unquote. The importance of the project lies as much in its history and those of the men surrounding it as with its content. Its intellectual origins date back to the 1960s when the theoretician-in-chief of the Muslim Brotherhood, Saeed Ramadan, found refuge in Geneva. In September of 1964, his newspaper, El Musalmun, published an article calling for the launch of a, quote, ideological war, unquote, against the West. He thus acted in response to the creation of the State of Israel, considered by Islamists to be an element in a vast plot against the Muslim religion and its faithful. Quote, that is why we're convinced that the sophisticated ideological plan has to be countered by an ideological plan just as sophisticated, and that it is necessary to respond to these ideological attacks, to this ideological war, with an ideological war. The next paragraph is very important, and if perhaps some of my ruminations about the use of the Muslim Brotherhood, Arabs and Muslims in general as proxy warriors by the Third Reich and its above ground and underground Reich phases, note that one of the foundation elements of this project paper, one of the rationales, is its credulous treatment of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Protocols of the Elders of Zion is all over the Middle East. You can get it at just about any hotel in the Middle East. It's pushed actively by members of the Saudi royal family, although that doesn't get a lot of publicity. Saudi Arabia in the 1990s hired an American neo-Nazi, William Grinstead, as one of its Washington lobbyists. We'll perhaps review that inside, too. But note that the Protocols of the Elders of Zion does not come from the Middle East. It's not a Muslim document. It's not an Arab document. It is a European document originally concocted by the Tsarist secret police and adopted by the Nazis. Continuing with this article from Le Temps about the project article. It makes explicit references to the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a document fabricated by Tsarist police and which describes a Jewish conspiracy to dominate the world. Even though it's a forgery, the anti-Semitic text continues to be taken seriously in Islamist circles. Last August, the Wall Street Journal revealed that the protocol, unquote, was cited during a recent meeting of the European Council of Fatwas and Research, unquote, an organization designed to counsel the Muslims of Europe regarding their daily lives. According to a participant in the meeting, the protocol demonstrates the existence of a Jewish conspiracy designed to destroy the moral values of Muslim families. It is understood that, inspired by such ideas, the Islamists wanted to react by developing their own project. The lead thinker of the Council of Fatwas, Youssef al-Qaradawi, was one of the principal shareholders of the Al-Taqwa Bank of Lugano. He is without doubt the most popular preacher in Europe and the Arab world, and some of his ideas are in line with those of the project. Thus, in a document published in 1990, he proposed to develop the presence of the Islamic movement at the heart of jihad groups in order to eliminate, quote, all foreign influences, unquote, in Islamic lands from Morocco to Indonesia. Despite the evident ideological similarities and the historic links of the great thinkers of the Muslim Brotherhood with this document, the recent history of Islamism cannot be summarized in this project alone. And the expansion of Islam in the West over the course of the last decades has not been planned by anyone. It results from the progressive installation of Muslim immigrants in Europe and the United States. But the heirs to the Muslim Brotherhood will profit from this development to open a new space for their actions and ideas. Their declared objective has always been to, quote, protect, unquote, Muslim communities, as Sheikh Qaradawi puts it, from the, quote, whirlwind of materialist ideas that prevails in the West, unquote. Far from confirming this view, the project bears important witness of what could be the ulterior motives and hidden objectives of the Islamist movement, both now and in the future, trying to strengthen its influence on Muslim communities in the West. And by the way, this, as of this past October, a book I personally have not read, it has not been translated, I don't believe, a book by Sylvain Besson, The Conquest of the West, contains a full printing of the project. Now, inside two of this program, we're going to review, actually we're going to present an earlier use of the Muslim peoples of the Middle East as allies in order to gain control of the oil and the Earth Island. And that by Germany during World War I. We're also going to review the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood and some of its many distinctly non-Muslim and non-Arab connections. By the way, of the use of the Arabs as proxy warriors during World War II, we're going to review a document that we've looked at in previous broadcasts. This was discussed in For the Record programs number 519, and 527, in a footnote to a document that we used in 527, and the full annotation will be in the description. Speaking of support for the Nazis among Arabs during World War II, support for Nazism was not limited to the former Mufti, by the way, whose escape from Germany was aided by Youssef Nada, in whose apartment the project was found, parenthetically. Again, quoting, "We admired the Nazis. We were immersed in reading Nazi literature and books. We were the first who thought of a translation of Mein Kampf. Anyone who lived in Damascus at that time was witness to the Arab inclination toward Nazism," recalled Sami al-Jundi, one of the founders of Syria's ruling Ba'ath Party. Indeed, a popular World War II song was heard in the Middle East featuring words, "Bisama Allah, Oria Allard Hitler. In heaven Allah, on earth Hitler." Picking up on the theme of the book, posters were put up in Arab markets and elsewhere proclaiming, "In heaven, Allah is thy ruler. On earth, Adolf Hitler." And we'll review the full annotation of that will be in the description to the program. And Hitler looking ahead as the Third Reich was going down and looking ahead at its post-war underground policies. This from the another document that we've used in For the Record program 527 and 519. And by the way, the annotation of this document will be in the description for the program as well. Adolf Hitler declared in his testament, reported by Martin Bormann, "All of Islam vibrates at announcement of our victories. What can we do to help them? How can it be to our interest and our duty? It is in our interest to support the countries oppressed by the British. Such a policy would excite enthusiasm throughout Islam. It is, in effect, a particularity of the Muslim world that what touches one, whether good or ill, is felt by all the others. The people ruled by Islam will always be nearer to us than France, in spite of the kinship of blood." That was the view of Hitler as the Third Reich was going down militarily, and we're going to take a look at how this echoes very directly in the present world. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 537, The Project, the Muslim Brotherhood and Proxy War Around the World. This has been recorded on December 4th of 2005. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.